discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow. What a blessing. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to be together like this. We pray that your Holy Spirit Himself will guide us and lead us. Thank you for words from your word that will cause us to move in the way you have designed for us to move and grant us the confidence that we require and need to do business, to bring things that are divine to this world and generate so much to be a blessing to others, to your glory and your praise, even in Jesus' mighty name. We receive your word with meekness and gladness and with great joy. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. Please, you may kindly take your seat in heavenly places. I'm honored to be a part of this conference. What a blessing. I'm sure when I saw Prophet Jima, Pastor To, Pastor Ni, all these wonderful people, I said, oh, I'm wondering what I'm even doing. I'm not a businessman. So I feel like it's even misplaced in a certain way. But Jesus is Lord. God will help me. Hallelujah. Yes. So, yesterday I was here with partners of our ministry, and I shared something on as being an heir of God and what it means to be an heir of God. So yesterday I was sharing from Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It's important that we as Christian business people understand our heritage and understand, you know, what we are. Our identity makes a world of a difference. Knowing what you are and whose you are makes a world of a difference. You see, your confidence is directly proportional to what you think about yourself or who you think you belong to. I don't know if you get it.
Yes.
Your confidence. Have you seen a Nigerian before? I'm sure there's one sitting by you. But Nigerians are very confident. Have you noticed that Nigerians are very confident? Or you've not noticed? Nigerians can be brazenly, especially those who are in Lagos. You see, they can be very confident, very bold, very, because they have a certain sense of, you know, being in charge. Like, I'm in charge. Everywhere I go, I'm in charge. And I have to take over. Do you see? Even the way they talk lets you know that, Charlie, no, what do you mean? You know, there was an experience someone close to me had. We were running a hospital together, and this lady from Nigeria also joined them. You know, the Ghanaians were higher in terms of their knowledge of what they were doing. But this young lady who had come was so boisterous all over the place, like instructing everybody, you know, and they were like, what are you talking about? Calm down, cool down. They had to push her down and let her know that you have to relax. We're actually bigger than you are. You see, but she was taking over, you know, because there's a certain mindset of victory, a certain mindset of we need to do it big, and Nigerian want to do it big. Or he wants to do it big. He wants to give himself completely to it. He's ready to die for it. He's ready to go to any extreme for it. That's their natural, I mean, at least the ones I've met, you know, that's the natural gear in which they are in. You see? But normally you would have a Ghanaian very cool, very calm, very quiet, small is okay. Let's do what we can do. Let's kakra kakra.
those type of things. Like, well, let's do it small. I feel it's because of the culture we have and how we've grown up. You know, but when you come into Christ, you must drop your culture. You must drop whatever it is and pick up the culture of Christ. Do you see? And if you read in these verses, you see God trying to give a certain mindset to his children. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has. That is what he came for. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. So as he hung on the tree, he was actually cursed for you and I. When you become born again, the curses that are related to the law, related to the ground. For instance, God told Adam that curse is the ground for your sake, isn't it? It shall bring forth thorns and thistles for you. Before Adam, you know, partook of the fruit, the ground would bear good fruit. Honestly, if you leave a bare ground, it will bear. You have some mangoes coming up, you have some pineapples coming without having to sow any seed, because there were seeds that God put into the ground already. I see in it. All the man needed to do was to till the earth, and then the seed starts coming. But when Adam sinned, we see that he says thorns and thistles started coming up. That's why when you leave a bare ground, you leave a field bare like that, it will not bring fruit. It will bring, yeah, thorns and thistles. When Jesus was dying on the cross, before he went to the cross, they plaited a crown of thorns and placed it upon his head. In other words, Christ carried that curse of the ground upon his head for you and I. As he hung on the cross, he was carrying the curse of the ground. And as he hung on the cross, it was a sign of the fact that the one who is cursed, okay, in there's a scripture in Leviticus. Let me see if I can find it for you. It's actually Deuteronomy, not Leviticus. Deuteronomy chapter 21, rather. It says, and this is 21:22. It says, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is cursed, is accursed of God, that the land may not be defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. I don't know if you're seeing it. He says, so that for he that is hanged is accursed of the Lord. The one who is hanged on a tree is accursed of the Lord. So Jesus had to be hanged on a tree in order to take the curse for us. And by the grace of God, he hung on the tree and took the curse for you and I. Now, what are the details of the curse? If you read in Deuteronomy 28, you see from verse 15, 16, you see so many curses, 52 curses. Out of the 52 curses, 35 of them are poverty related. 35 are poverty related, and the rest are sickness related and calamity related. Do you see? So many curses. Now, Jesus hung on the cross and took all these curses for you and I so that we can be blessed. So as you are sitting here, you are blessed. The issue is that a lot of us don't believe it, even though we keep hearing it every single time. A lot of people don't believe it. We think from where we come from. We think from our country. We think from our home. We think from your bedroom. You know how your bedroom is looking. You see, even the bed, you don't have a student mattress, this one. So it's like, where am I going in life? And you allow that to capture your mind and become your vision in life. Do you see? God wants you to see beyond that. What you see is what you become. You see, what you are seeing is what is going to be happening in your life. Imagination is very important. I'm sure it's been spoken about. Yeah, imagination is very important. You have to start thinking the way God wants you to think, that you are blessed. You see, you are blessed. You are favored. You are the favored of God. Good things are coming to you. Do you believe that good things are coming to you? Good contracts are coming to you. So you've started a business or you want to start a business. Know that whatever it is that you are getting into, good is coming to you. You are on God's favor grounds. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Look at Romans 5 verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, or being declared not guilty by faith, or being made righteous by faith in Christ Jesus, he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, because we have peace to our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse, by him, by Jesus Christ also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Into this grace wherein we stand. There's a grace in which we are standing. And grace means unmerited favor. So we are standing in a place of unmerited favor. We are standing in a place where favor is, we are favored. We are liked. You go for a tender. Let's say you send your documents for a tender. Your documents are liked. Your documents will be chosen. That confidence in your heart and in your mind is what allows your contract, which you to get the contract. But when you are so shaky in your mind, oh, is this thing going to work? I don't know if I'm qualified for it. Listen, unmerited favor is unmerited favor. That means you are not qualified for it. Hey, what you don't merit is what you get. So all your documents may not be together, but if the Holy Spirit is telling you to apply. Don't worry about your documents not being together. There are a lot of people who have won contracts that they didn't have a lot. Hey, you've not worked in government before. They didn't have anything.
I'm one.
Yes, they are the ones who got the contract.
I'm one.
You have an experience. Yes. So that faith, that confidence that Charlie, the thing will work, will make it work. We are too shaky in our heart and in our minds. You know, it's a lot of questioning. We ask a lot of questions. And because you're asking so many questions before moving, it's like you're not walking in faith. Meanwhile, you need faith to be able to move and do a lot of things. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So believe in these verses that you are, I don't know if you have TPT or Message or NLT, any of these newer versions. A businessman must be confident. Yes, in his identity, in his, the fact that he's blessed, in the fact that he's a child of God, and therefore he's treated with a certain kind of favoritism. I am favored. Yes, I am favored. I am liked. I am favored. I am liked. My documents are liked.
My business is liked.
Yes, there may be five businesses on the same street doing the same thing, and you are part of it. My shop is liked. My shop, people will enter my shop every day. I'll get money coming to me every day. That confidence makes a world of a difference. It makes a world of a difference. This is what NLT says. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. That's where you stand. Undeserved privilege. Undeserved, though. I don't deserve to be standing before you. No, there's nothing I've done to qualify me to be here. It's just by the grace of God. I am liked. My messages are liked.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe it strongly that my messages are liked.
Yeah,
I believe it. That whoever hears me, first time you like me. You want to choose me. Yeah, you want me to be in your life forever. I believe it. I believe it strongly. Yeah. So you to believe that, Charlie, when you make one, if someone buys something from you, it's like a rational. A dry day. A rational. By any juju, a rational. How do you say that in English? Medicine has catched him. Medicine has catched the guy. The guy is going to keep buying from me every time. I'm his point of call. Number one call, he will call me all the time. Believe that, and that is what will be happening for you. Oh yes, that's what will be happening for you. Do you see? And because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. You see, the last portion is not explained well. The English word is hope. Let's look at the King James. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It says because of where we stand, because we know that we are standing on favor grounds, we rejoice, we are excited in hope of the glory of God. Actually, the word hope is elpis, and it means confident expectation or confident assurance. Do you see? Confident expectation. That's what it means. You're expecting something to happen so confidently that you are not, I mean, you are not perturbed about what is going on.
Yeah.
You're expecting good only. And the word glory is doxa. It means honor, beauty, splendor, joy. I mean, every nice thing you can think about is what you are to expect. Why? Because now you're on favor grounds. Because I'm on favor grounds, I expect nothing but goodness, nothing but joy, nothing but millions of dollars. That's what I'm expecting. Some years ago, God told me, stop talking in cities. City is going to fall. Stop talking in cities. Start talking in dollars. Yes, I said it many years ago.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So, please, that confidence that you have, that you see, there's an engine for doing business. Oh. There's an internal engine that is not outside. It's inside. If that engine is not working, all the things you do outside may not work. Yes. So, having that confidence in that, Charlie, I am liked. Everything I do is liked. It may not even be looking nice, but it will be liked. Yes. Then you work on it looking nice with time. because you have to have excellence in your mind as well. You see, you have to make it look nice as time goes on. But wherever you're starting from, have that confidence that this thing that I'm doing is liked. People are going to love it. It's going to be bought. It's going to be purchased. Yes, I'm not just doing something and hoping that the word hope is not what you think it is. Right? We are hoping, we are hoping that it will. No, hope is confident expectation, confident assurance of good, of blessing, of beauty, of financial supply all the time. That's what you're looking at. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus to himself, Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. You see, he says, God has made us accepted in the beloved. Guess what? The word accepted is the Greek word charitou. Charitou. It's from charis. C-H-A-R-I-T-O-O. And it means that the one who is lambasted with favor. And lambasted the one. Let me read it for you. It's wild though. So you are sitting here. God, you are so liked. If God likes you, which company can say it doesn't like you? I don't know if you understand. Have that confidence. Wow. Carry two. Say carry two. If you don't remember, just carry two. Yes. It means to make charming, to make graceful, to make lovely. It means to compass with favor. And to compass with what? So God has compassed you with favor. God has engraced you, made you charming, made you lovely. God has compassed you with honor and blessings. To endue you with special honor, to be highly favored. It's the same word that was used by the angel when he was talking to Mary. Yes, you are highly favored amongst women. Out of all women, you are the one that God has chosen. Can you imagine? What did Mary do? It's not because Mary was a virgin. There are many virgins. My friend, it's not because of a virginity that they will choose you. Hey. Yes. She was compassed with favor. The virgin should sit down. She should sit down. Hey. Highly favored. Highly liked. It's nice. It's important too. As you are going to work every morning, you are doing that to your small business like nobody's really minding you. You need to be full of encouragement. You need to be encouraged. It's not a small thing being a business person, no. Entrepreneur. In this environment, in this our Ghana.
Ghana.
When the government is not minding you. There's a foreigner in my house right now from Rwanda. You know, and he was asking me, how is entrepreneurship in Ghana like? Does the government help? I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? No, not in Ghana. Not in Ghana. They rather want to collapse the thing. Unfortunately. So if you are not encouraged, Charlie, you abandon ship after 6 months. After 6 months of not seeing much, you abandon ship. That's what has happened to a lot of businesses. The number of businesses that start every year, okay? The number of those businesses that collapse in less than 5 years is unimaginable.
Yes.
They start, but they are unable to continue. They are unable to continue all the way because they are not encouraged. The environment is not suitable. It's not doing. Hey! So if you don't learn to encourage yourself by learning some of these things that you are liked as you are going, I don't know if there's this video around. Go get the money. Go get the money.
Yeah.
Have you seen that video?
Please.
Yeah. You've not seen it? Look for it and put it up. It's a recommendation. Go get the money. Go get the money. Go get the money. You need to encourage yourself. I'm going to get the money. If you don't encourage yourself, nobody will encourage you. You may be surprised that your parents may not encourage you with what you are doing. Why don't you find a job? Why don't you find a job? You are wasting your time. I took you to school to bring money. Now you have gone to school, you are taking more money from me. Yeah. Charlie, so if you are not encouraged within, that if that engine is not there, you'll be surprised that it may not be working as you'll be discouraged and you abandon ship. Always remember that, Charlie, business is a long journey. It's not a short journey. It's what? Have long-term plans, mid-term plans, short-term plans. You'll be surprised. Sometimes what you're expecting to happen may not happen. But you shouldn't be discouraged. You shouldn't give up. You should keep pushing. You should keep moving. And you need to understand that, Charlie, I am accepted. What I'm doing is correct. The Lord is leading me to do it. Therefore, I'm going to do it. Okay? Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. I don't know if I'm helping. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Then he says, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. He died on the cross so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Now, drop down to verse 28. It says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Let's read 27 so that it makes more sense. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither born nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Then it says, and if you be Christ, if you are for Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And you are heirs according to the promise. Jesus says, if you are Christ, are you for Christ? Do you belong to Christ? Are you a child of God? He says, if you're a child of God, then you are now Abraham's seed. Now, this is very important because the most successful people in this world are Abraham's seed. All the billionaires were Zuckerberg. Who? Rothschild. These guys have been rich for almost 200 years. For so many years. It's the man is not finishing. Rockefeller. All these guys, they are the owner of IBM, this one. All these, is Jeff Bezos is even Jew as well. All these guys, top guys, are actually the seed of Abraham. It's like there's something special about being connected to Abraham. Have you seen the Arabs? The Arab guy. They claim that they are the seed of Abraham because they trace their roots through Ishmael. So it's like, whatever you can do to be connected to Abraham, do it.
That's the source. That's the source.
Make sure you are connected. That's the source.
That's the source.
The reason is that God actually willed heaven and earth to Abraham. God willed what? Heaven and earth to Abraham. That is the promise God gave to Abraham. So he says that if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and you are heirs. According to the promise. What promise is that? Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that Abraham should be the heir of the world. The promise that God gave to Abraham was that he should be the heir of the world. Was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Actually, we are the ones that the promise was made to. Because we are the ones who are connected to Abraham through faith in Christ Jesus. The Jews, the natural guys, the natural Jews are connected to him by blood. The Arabs are connected to him also by blood. We are connected to him by what?
By faith.
Which is actually what God was talking about. When God was talking to him, giving him that promise, he didn't have his children in mind. He didn't have all those guys. He actually had you and I in mind. So it's like, I'm talking to you. I'm saying, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving that to you. And then someone hears it and then says, I like what he has. And then he also starts getting it. But actually, this is not the person we are talking. We are talking to this person, but this person has refused to believe what. I don't know if you are getting it. Hey, we are the ones who are actually connected to Abraham. The promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And we are the seed of Abraham by faith. Yes. So actually, as we're sitting here, you are the heir of the world. You are the heir of what? The whole world belongs to you. The whole world belongs to you. And guess what? An heir is one who does not work for anything. Heir is inheritance. Or
Prince William.
I mean, he's the king. He's waiting for his father to die. That's all. He's just waiting. That's all his life. He's just waiting for his father to die. Yeah. He's enjoying as he's waiting. Yes. Yes, I was mentioned that I have a friend who became a house. He inherited 3 houses after his father passed. He became a landlord. He doesn't know the price of block or cement. He doesn't know. He became a landlord. 3 houses. 3 big houses. 1 4-bedroom house, 5-bedroom house, another 5-bedroom house. 3. Yes. In very expensive areas in the city. Yes. Why? Yes, this is the real estate mogul now. Just because he's an heir. His father died, that's all. We too, our father died. Jesus died for us so that we can inherit. So as you are sitting here, everything, you see, and the word world there is cosmos. Cosmos, that is all the earthly goods. All the nice things in the earth, all the pleasures in the earth, all the blessings in the earth. All the big things, all the gold, all the silver, all the mines. Can you believe that you can own a mine? 2 or 5 mines that are working for you. You have concessions from government or from whatever, different countries. Can you believe for such thing? I'm telling you what you have become. You are the heir of the world. Everything belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. Believe that everything belongs to you. Believe it. All the cars, they belong to you. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad about it. Everything actually belongs to you. Have you seen some of these Arab guys buying cars? They don't feel bad at all. What brand is this? Okay, give me 10 of these. It's not a problem. You take everything away. And he goes, bring it to my house, just puts it in his house, and it's not doing anything. There, just ornament. It's in the glass, sitting down. Decor pieces. Hey, I will not feel bad. Tell me about I will not feel bad. About riches and wealth. Yes. So, do business with that mind. That I am the seed of Abraham. Yeah. And these guys are working. They don't have any sense of failure. Like, maybe it will not work. What are you talking about? No. I'm Abraham's child. It has to work. God made Abraham the possessor of the heavens and the earth. I don't know about you, but Charlie, I believe it. It means that whatever I touch turns to gold. I believe it strongly. Go get the money. Be confident, yes, of who you are and whose you are. Yes. The one to whom we belong owns all things, and he's willed what he owns to us. You don't need to merit. It's not meritocracy. No, just by virtue of you being his child, you have everything. That's why the Bible says that all things are yours. And he says whether it is life or death or the world, the cosmos, there are everything around. All the banks, they are actually yours. Yes. Can you imagine? Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world. All the world, all life, all death, all things present, all things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ. And Christ is God. If you are Christ, then it says you are the seed of Abraham. Because you are the seed of Abraham, all things belong to you. So work from that point. All things are mine. Everything I touch, the whole world is mine. Yeah. What affects them does not affect me. Mm-hmm. Everybody was crying. Isaac could not cry. He could not cry. Because yes, his circumstances was different from theirs. It's different from theirs. I mean, what he can't cry. He can't apologize for what he has. He's blessed. Why? He's connected to Abraham. He's connected to Abraham. People dig, they don't find water. He would dig, he'll find water. Yes, he would dig, he'll find water. That's just how I am. Yeah. I can't help it. I can't help but be successful. That's my life. Are you a child of God? See, I can't help but be successful. Yes, everything I touch works, tends to go. Now, how does these things show forth in your life practically?
Okay.
Let's I didn't talk about that. So today I want to talk about that. Because you are business people, I want to talk about that. How does it practically show up? Okay. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21. From that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Have you seen it? Look at chapter 17, verse 22, Matthew 17, 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Wow. Chapter 20. Same book. Chapter 20. Verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. So this one, he started off telling them, I don't know if you are following it, from chapter 16, you see that he gave them an insight to how it is going to be. Yes, from that forth, this is 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto the disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. In this particular place, he doesn't talk about the Gentiles, how he shall be given to the Gentiles and how he shall be crucified. He doesn't mention it. Go to the next place, chapter 17, where we read. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the hands of men. Into the house of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. So this one too, he doesn't go into details. Are you seeing it?
Yeah.
But in chapter 20, you see that he has really, it's like he's explaining exactly what is going to happen. Jesus going up, took the 12 disciples, next verse, and then he said to them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock. Which is actually what happened.
Yeah.
But in the first two places, we don't see him mentioning Gentiles. And to scourge. We don't see him mention that they will scourge him. And to crucify him, we don't see him mentioning that actually that the killing that they are going is going to be crucifixion. He didn't mention. Then he says, and the third day he shall rise again. We see Jesus increasing in the revelation of the future. As the days was going by. Are you seeing it? Or you are not seeing it? We see him increasing. It's almost as though he didn't know the details. But as the days went by, as he was praying, and as he was talking to the Lord was giving him details concerning what would be happening so he could talk about it. And that's exactly what happened. The key for the seed of Abraham enjoying the blessings that God has made available is the key of seeing the future. The key of seeing the future. The key of having knowledge concerning the future. What is going to happen? If a businessman does not know what is going to happen, if he can't look at the market and have an intelligent information from somewhere. It has to be from somewhere. About what is going to happen in the next 2 years, in the next 3 years, in the next 4 years. If you can't predict what is going to happen in the next few years, he may lose. Have you done trading before? Or this whatever trading. Do you need to know what is going to happen? Do you need to be able to predict? You have to be able to predict. Look at some things and then be able to predict. Ah, this is going to happen. So let me put my money here. Just imagine if you knew that smartphones were going to be a big thing some years ago, if you knew it. Do you think you would have invested all your money to go and bring phones into this country? Because a phone does not expire. Does it expire? You deal in phones, those phones expire. They don't expire. Okay. You would have gotten a lot and sold them and gotten a lot of profit. But because you didn't know, you couldn't be involved in a certain way. Some years ago, I saw this. When you are buying water in traffic, they had buckets on their head with caps on top of the bucket. They turn the lid of the bucket. You see, you don't even know what I'm talking about. They turn the lid of the bucket. So, bucket that you bath with, the rubber bucket that you bath with, they'll get that. They'll put ice into it and put water in it and then cover it with caps. They'll turn the lid and cover, they put caps on it. And that's what they were selling the water in. So when you want to buy water, they take the cap and then they bend their head like and fetch the water for you and give it to you in the car. Then you drink it and give the cap back to them and they put it back. Yes. Then the next person comes, they can have about 4 or 5 caps. They do the same thing. So all of you can have about 1,000 people drinking from 5 caps. This happened in this country. I remember it very well. In the 90s, communion, I tell you, from the same cup. No infection. There was no infection. I mean, we were flowing happily. But there were sicknesses around, though. But everything was fine. Everything was fine. Our knowledge has not helped us. Hepatitis B was there a long time. But nobody had complained of anything. We were all drinking it happily. They didn't complain about the lady's hands being dirty and it's good. He uses his hands to collect the coins and then he uses that same hand to pick it up for you. I mean, yes. The Lord reveals what? Sin. Then the Lord comes in. Not long after they started putting it, they said, oh, it's not hygienic, so we have to. But we use that for a long time. How many of you saw that? You saw that? Charlie? Ancient of Days. Then later they said that, oh, we should rubber. Chechiri water. Penny. Yeah, the transparent one. Yeah. Yes. And then it becomes big. It becomes fat. You can even do a toy with it. With legs and all. Yes. Then not long after, sachet water. Yeah. Pure water. Yeah. It has to be purified. It has to be worked on, whatever. I tell you, what we are drinking is tap water. It's not good. It has to be purified. It has to go through. You know, I'm still drinking the tap water. That's what I'm talking about. I'm still drinking it. Just, yes. You see, someone sees into the future and says that, no, we should do this. We should do that. And then it catches on. I feel it is one of the main keys to breaking through with your business. That's how I feel. You see, and now there's bottled water. Yes. This ability to see the future, Jesus could see it. We could see what is going to come. And he was talking about it. That same ability has been given to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can tell what is going to come. Because Jesus said it in John chapter 16, verse 12, concerning the Holy Spirit. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will show you what? That's to say, he will show you the future. The Holy Spirit has a ministry in our lives of showing us the future. And if you see the future, you'll be very confident in the decisions you make today. Joseph was given the ability to see the future. He saw 14 years. God gave him ability to see 14 years of what was going to happen in the world. He saw 7 years of famine. Of course, it was shown to Pharaoh, but he didn't understand it. God gave him the wisdom to interpret it. And because he had the wisdom to interpret it, Pharaoh said, who is wiser than this guy? Who is the one who is as witty as this guy to be able to handle what we are talking about? And he got the opportunity to become what he became. He became vice president. Yes. Prime minister. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? The ability to see into the future. What made Isaac different from his people? He could see into the future. God gave him a dream. God came into his dream. Don't go. He was going to make a serious blunder. God came to his dream. Don't move to Egypt. Stay in Gerar and plant in Gerar. Everything will be fine. And he obeyed what he saw. He saw the future and he obeyed it. What did Jacob say? Jacob said, I had a vision of the night that the cows that were climbing, the female cows, were ring straight, spotted, and gristled. That is why I made the decisions I made. I saw the future. All of them saw the future. The key of making the blessing of Abraham show forth, which is the heir of the world, is to see the future. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Yes, to see the future. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us see the future. That is why Pastor Tu was saying that you can't separate your spirituality from your business. If a Christian is going to succeed, you see, Walmart is a Christian. You know he's a Christian. He's a billionaire. He saw something. That is why he did what he did. So what are you seeing? What is God showing you? So important. God can show you a particular shoe, type of shoe, that is going to be popular. Yeah. And you may start producing. People will not take you seriously. You'll be surprised. Have you heard of Yeezy? Is it Yeezy or whatever? It's not nice, but it's like, a lot of people, it's like, you like it. It's very expensive, whatever. Tattered jeans. Tearing the jeans. It's a big deal now. There's a certain chain of stores that belongs to some Christians. I've forgotten the name. But the lady says, God showed her. I've forgotten the name. Forever 21, yes. Forever 21, yeah. She says she had a vision of stores, chain stores, selling things. So she decided to just do it. That's all. She's a billionaire, dollar billionaire. So you two, what are you seeing? What is the Lord showing you? You may start off not seeing it clearly, just like Jesus. He didn't see it clearly. He saw some things, but he couldn't really get into the details of it. But with time, as you keep praying in the Spirit, you see, praying in the Spirit is a mystery that God has given to us. You see, praying in the Spirit and asking the Lord for interpretation, waiting for interpretation. Most of us pray, we don't wait for interpretation. The difference between us and the wise is that we like praying. We like talking to God and are not ready for God to talk back to us. That's the difference. We don't listen. We don't listen. Anything that will let you sit down quietly and think is not liked in Africa. We don't like it. Yes. If it's like you're wasting time. But these other people, these guys, Charlie, they are ready to hear. They meditate. They are ready to hear from the Lord. You see, we will shout, Kabaya, Bilaga, Bagabaya, Bayaba, Rakakama, Dohoshika, Kabala, eh! If the song that they are singing is not, it's not fire, it's not spiritual. I tell you, listen, it's powerful, but after that, sit down quietly. Can you sit down quietly? One day we're praying here. When we finished praying, I said, everybody sit down and let's hear from the Lord. Everybody slept. Everybody slept. You see, I pray that when you sleep, the Holy Ghost will show you a dream. Yeah, because you need to see something. You need to see something. You need to hear. That's the key. That's the key. Seeing the future. Do this. That's it. It's my key for success for me. Yeah, it's my key for success. Just following what the Lord is showing me. This auditorium, I saw it before it was even, the land was even bought. Yes, God showed it to me. Before I drew it in my hall. This will be here. I just drew it. That's like that. God has showed it to me. I kept seeing it. So I could take steps along that line and not give up, irrespective of the pressure, the problems. Also, the problems, the pressure. It is expected. That is how life is. Life comes with floods, it comes with rains, it comes with winds. I don't know why you are not expecting storms and rains. Why are you making it so special? Soft life. What is that? In the midst of the pressure, you have the soft life. That's it. But don't think that pressure is not going to come. Pressure will come. I mean, starting a business and not thinking that there will be issues. It's like you are not serious. It's as though you are thinking you are the only one doing that thing. Like there are no, the other factors do not count. Even in science, there are factors. Economics, there are other factors. There are factors. You want to do this, but consider this factor, this factor, this factor, this factor. If this one moves here, whatever. Yes. There's even act of God. Yes. All other things being equal. That's how it is. You can't change it. Okay? So don't make the factors so big a deal. That is how it is. That's it. I mean, you can't. Did Jacob face troubles? He was cheated for 21 years.
Even when he bargained.
Uh-huh. He cheated him in the bargain. Yes. He was cheated. You can say it in the microphone, brother. When he finally told the uncle that he's going, after giving birth to Joseph, he said, "We are going." And the uncle said, "Oh, I've noticed, I've learned by experience that God has blessed you for my sake, etc." Then he's like, "Oh, you have cheated me and I've served you." He said, "Okay, you appoint me your wages. How much do you want me to pay you?" Then he gave the description that he wanted him to give him the rain streaked. This is Genesis 30, verse, let me see where it is. Yeah, verse 27. Genesis 30, 27. Yes. "I've learned by experience that the Lord has blessed you for my sake." Look at the next verse. And he said, "Appoint me thy wages and I will give it." This is what Laban was telling Jacob. Next. And he said unto him, "Thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me." Next. "For thou was a little," he talked about other. Next. Then he said that Laban is asking, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "Thou shalt not give me anything. If thou will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flock. I'll pass through all the flock and remove all the ones that have speckled and spotted cattle," all those things. That's what he said. That will be his hire. Look at the next verse. Then he says that, "So shall my righteousness answer." Next verse. And Laban said, "I would it might be according to your word." And you don't see it here, but this is still Laban. Laban went to remove that day all the goats that were ring-streaked and spotted and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted. He took everything out of the thing that he said, "Oh, I'll give you. You say you want the one that I've spotted. I'll give them to you." That day, after negotiating that, he went back quickly, gathered all the ones that were spotted and did 3 days' journey. Look at the next verse. And he said 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. 3 days. He decided that the one that he said is now his wages. No. He has taken that one away and has jackpot. And they gave it to Jacob. Laban gave it to his sons and told them they should go 3 days' journey away. And then now Jacob has to start. And that's where the visions and things that helped Jacob came to pass. So it's like Jacob started with zero after 21 years. Started with zero again. Yeah. Negative. So a business person who does not, like, it's not for the weak minded. Business is not for the weak-minded. In fact, success is not for the weak-minded. You have to bulldozer your way through a lot of things. Yes, Grace and Takashi. You don't give up. Don't give up. Any beautiful thing you can see has been done with a lot of pressure, a lot of shouting, a lot of opposition every time. So running away from the first sight of trouble.
It's too much.
It's like it's too much. Abolop. Your mind is not strong. You have to let your mind be very strong. I mean, those things, dear Charlie. I can't. What are you talking about? Stop being Gen Z. Be a 90s child and an 80s kid. Yes.
You are shaking too.
Proverbs 24:10, the brother is helping us. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Any big businessman, I was hearing one businessman, I mean, he's been talking for many years over the period. He's going through one of his toughest times in his life. He couldn't help it. He had to say it. Come on.
Yeah.
Yes. It's going through Ricardo Plaza. Yeah. It's going through a lot of things. The financial, whatever, restructure has affected him so much. It's locked up a lot of his funds. Yes, haircuts. Cut him and give him a haircut. These are facts. More than haircuts. Please.
The financial
where his funds were in the banks that were consolidated.
Yeah.
So all his funds are locked there. So he can't even pay his workers.
Yeah.
So everything, he's now back to zero, actually.
Yeah. After several years of working. If you are not hard, if you are not strong, you will die. You will just die. You may shoot yourself in the head or something. Yeah, it's not a small thing. Have you heard this statement before? Sikaya moja. Money is blood. They are not joking. They are not joking, yes. They be serious. Yes. It's like blood transfusion. I tell you. Do you see? And because it is like that, a lot of people want the same amount of money that you also need for what you are doing. And they'll come with a lot of issues, a lot of problems. Fighting you. Trying to take it away from you or trying to swindle you out of it. I mean, I know people who, they had so much money, this China business. So, day one, they sent $20,000. The person shipped $20,000 worth of goods. Day two, they sent $30,000 because, oh, the guy is good. He's a very good guy. He sent $30,000. Then he sends $30,000 down. Then he said, he's very good. Then he sent $100,000. The guy sent $100,000 worth of gold. The guy is really good. Let me do $1,000,000. He sent $1,000,000. That's it. Up to date, it's for the vanishing. They have not seen it up to date. Yeah, this is something that has been happening for years. Do you see? And people are not learning. It's still being done. Yeah. I have a friend. The guy took his money and ran away. He was there with him in the country. So he met this guy in the country. He's there with him for a few times. They met in the country physically. He gave him money. I think he gave him about $450,000. That was the guy just vanished. He's a pastor now. This friend of mine is a pastor now. He said, yes. That was how God used you to call him. Yeah, he became close to God. Yeah, so it really shook him. It really shook him. He repented. He became very close to God, whatever. And then one day he was fellowshipping with the Spirit and the Holy Spirit told him, I'm going to show you where the man is. And can you imagine? The Holy Spirit directed him literally from one street to the other. He drove street by street by street by street and went to find the guy. He knocked on the guy's door. Yeah, the guy's run away. It's gone. Not the guy's door. When the guy opened, he said, how did you find me? That was it. The shock that he could find him made him look for the money for him. Immediately. Yes. No. Like, no. Oh, you guys, you are too. Yes. I see what I'm talking about. So challenges, they are there. But you need the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't be strong. You can't be tough. You need to be tough. Top-minded, I tell you. Yes. The Holy Spirit shows you the future. Isaac had resistance. So he digs the well. They come and push him away. He doesn't give up. He digs another well. Come and push him away. He digs another well. Until the people realize that this guy, we can't do anything about him. It's either we become friends with him or we perish. Yes. So you cannot say that you are not going to expect any problems. The problems will come. The floods will come. The rain will come. The wind will come. The storms will come. Expect it.
Expect
it. Plan with it in mind. Me, I have plans. I have plans for problems. It's part of it. So that you develop shock absorbers. When the shock comes, you have, just move. That's all. Yeah, I tell people, don't put your heart into things too much. Like, you put all your heart into everything. You will die. By the time a dew goes off, you just collapse. and the collapsing, you collapse by a gutter or a metal something, you lose your head. That's it. You are gone. So try not to collapse, no matter what. Shock absorbers. It's important. Yeah. So see the future and take the actions you need to take today. Okay? That's how you inherit what God has given to you and to me. Yeah. See the future. See the future. I hope my little submission has helped. Beautiful. So, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I think I'll give you the opportunity to ask questions. Yeah. So it's not a church meeting. So, I'm Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you can ask a question or two. Yes. If you have a question, please, you can ask. Have you had problems with your poultry farm? Yes. This is Pastor Commodore. I hope I'm saying it right. Yes, beautiful. Yes, tell me. He has a big poultry farm. He's a pastor. He also has a poultry farm. I've seen pictures of his poultry farm. It's a very difficult business. People's poultry, like chicken, just die. You wake up, they're all gone. Yeah. If you are not hard, you can't do this kind of business. They have all committed suicide. Yes. They can fly to Burkina easily. Oh God, please. So tell me, have you had any experience of
the major problem, I mean, there are a lot of problems I've faced, but I used to run another business. I had a agric input shop.
Agric what?
Input shop.
Input shop.
Yeah, so we sold fertilizer, agrochemicals and stuff. That was before I started the poultry farm. So the plan was to add the poultry farm because they are all in the same value chain. So when I started the farm, my focus in a way moved to the poultry. So I lost grasp in the actual business that was funding the poultry farm. Eventually, the supervision went.
Welcome to Ghana. So, it's also a major problem in this country. I mean, Shasumami doesn't work here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look after it for me. Every Ghanaian is an entrepreneur, brother.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised. Yeah. Disloyalty is the fabric of our society. That's how Ghana is. It is in our politics. Our politics from, do you know Nkrumah? Was loyal to UGM, whatever, United Gold Coast Convention, UGCC. He was disloyal. He moved just Matimeho. Have you heard of Matimeho for? That's it. Even at church history, same thing. Church history, the Protestants, how the Protestants other things. I'm talking about Ghana. Because we used to have, it was Christ Apostolic, then Apostolic Church Ghana, then Church of Pentecost came out, then this one, it's a lot of, that's how we are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Church of Abraham said, that is how we are. But if you don't teach loyalty, you there be there. Teach loyalty in your business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, we have to be one. We can succeed together. That's our problem. We don't like succeeding together. Everybody wants to be, do you know palanquin mindset? Have you heard of palanquin mindset? Have you seen, we have palanquins, it's in Ghana that palanquins exist. I don't think it's anywhere in the world. It's just here in Ghana. I'm yet to see it anywhere else. Where the chief is carried by other people in a seat or something like that. And he will not sit down quietly inside the thing. He'll stand and he'll do it. Hey! Other people's heads. Dancing, jumping. That is the kind of mindset we have. Everyone wants to be the one carried by others, sitting inside. You are inside them, and you are not quiet there. You are doing two no there as well. Because if a guy should drop you down, that's it.
Your neck will break.
Yeah, I know someone who started a business. Okay, her shop. She had three shops selling a particular whatever. Listen, the people who were taking care of the shop built houses. This guy built two houses, this guy built three houses. And she couldn't build a house. Up to date, she's not been able to build a house. Yeah, they prospered. Over the years. Yeah. Shesu mami.
Yes,
you'll be surprised. Don't do business in absentia.
Yeah.
Try. If you are going to be absent, put cameras on everybody. You'll be disconnected. My brother, please, you can. Yeah, so the supervision didn't work.
Yeah, so eventually closed down that side of business.
Mm.
And I'm focusing on the poultry. Mm. And now, with the production to, the other side, I was being funded with loans from banks.
Mm.
Because it's more secure. And you know, it's, I'm fast. I mean,
you can turn.
I buy 1,000 mm-hmm. bars of fertilizer. Mm-hmm. The same day, I get my money back.
Wow.
So the banks can easily fund it.
Yeah.
But with the poultry, no bank will support.
Mm.
So I now have to work with my own funds and start small.
Okay.
And grow from there.
Wow. Mm. And it has grown.
Oh, yes, yes. It's working.
Hallelujah. He sent me a poultry. He sent me a chicken during Christmas.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
What a blessing.
It's working.
Yes, thank you. So I wonder if you have any question or contribution. I mean, you have consent. Question. Okay. See that.
Thank you, Daddy, for the opportunity. So, Daddy, please, I want to find out, with the phases of your vision, do you have to move at the very face of your vision? For example, let me give an example. Maybe God told me that I should deal in clothing. He didn't mention whether I should sew, I should sell and buy, or I should design clothing or not. He just said deal with clothing. But over the time...
Keep praying to find out exactly what he wants you to do. That's what you do. Don't start anything until you are clear as to exactly... That's actually what I meant by... It became clearer as time went on. You see? So it has to be clear for you. When it's clear for you, then you can move. Well, you know, sell clothes, then you can buy and sell. Sew the clothes, then you can sew and sell. Do you see? You are better off. So that you be confident. The problem is that we are mostly not confident in what we are doing because we are not sure. We are not sure. And that's what I'm trying to drive home for us. That you need to be sure so that you can move. Okay?
Thank you.
Yes, please.
What about the place of, there are things that you know that, no, this thing, you have to risk out, you know, fit in first, then God starts unveiling to you vis-a-vis the surety of the vision of what you are supposed to do. And how do you?
Yeah. So, I think in Genesis 1, verses 2, and the earth was void without form. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There was a problem. The problem needed to be analyzed. So the Spirit of the Lord moved to analyze the problem. There was darkness. Then in verse 3, the solution was preferred. And God said, let there be light. So in this case, you would have to first know the problem, analyze it. If not, in the process of preferring a solution to the problem, you get stuck there. Yes. Now, the entrepreneurship journey in Ghana is like living from your living room to your bedroom, and one day there is light out. You would end up touching a lot of things in your quest to get to your bed. By the time you get to your bed, you have touched a lot of things. The goal is to get to your bedroom, but you touch a lot of things. So the purpose of the vision is that God wants you to do this. But because of lack of direction, you can't see. So you are touching a lot of things. You have not analyzed the situation yet. You keep touching. And you keep touching until you get hit. Then sometimes you sit. Let me stop there. So sometimes you sit and you reanalyze the situation. It's as if you know this route, but at the same time, you are not sure because there is no light. That is when the spirit man in you will communicate God's mind concerning the journey. That, okay, there is no light. You can't see anything. There is confusion, but this is the path you need to follow. Then finally, you can rest on your bed. Yes. So thank you.
Thank you. But maybe also adding to the lady's submission, sometimes maybe I'm not looking at the spiritual side, but sometimes I feel taking a step into the fashion world. If you start with buying and selling, maybe you're supposed to be a designer, but the small experience of buying and selling helps you know who to sell to once you have your design. So maybe God is calling you to be a designer, but he needs you to do buying and selling first. I look at the story like David. David was meant to be king, but he first had to be a shepherd. And then he had to be a harp player to go get entrance into Saul's kingdom and to be with Saul. So if he just sat and said, oh, I'm going to be king, he won't have done these other things. But it's these other possibly unnecessary things, all this touching, that then led him to know how to take care of flock, how to play, how to sing, and then write all the psalms. Right? We talk about Joseph and his excellence. Even in prison, he was excellent and was made head of all the prison. So he was touching different things, but it was in that he became how to touch the whole empire. So I do understand sometimes we would say fashion and then maybe we'll go the wrong direction. But I sometimes think, especially us in Ghana, where we're very reserved, we will stop and wait. And I know the desire is fashion, but I won't learn sewing. I won't watch fashion shows. I won't do anything until I hear from God, watch fashion shows, study designers, read things. And sometimes I feel we have that powerless. So this is my only question.
So the believer does not have a faith problem. That problem is solved already. Your spirit man is already matured because you received Christ. Now, the problem you have now, skill and knowledge. Because whatever you need to be successful, you have already. Isaiah 54 begins by saying, sing, O barren. The curse was for, from the beginning, God says we should be fruitful and multiply. So out of the curse, you become barren. But Isaiah 54 says, sing, O barren, which means that even the curse of barrenness has been dealt with already. Now the question is, God says, you have received your vision that God wants you to go into fashion or sell clothes. When you receive the vision it's not complete until there is a destination defined in the vision. Because if I tell you that I want to send you, okay, you have come, I want to send you. Then immediately you came, you started moving. Where are you going to? Yeah, I just said, I want to send you. Or I've given you a tablet. Take this tablet. Then you begin to move. What are you going to do with the tablet? The fact that you have received the tablet does not mean that I want you to even sell the tablet. Perhaps I am sending you to someone who will sell the tablet. So now you don't become a P2P business owner. You are a service provider, kind of. Do you get it? So the full value chain of business cannot do without you knowing fully that I don't have a faith problem. I have everything that it takes to be successful, but I need a skill and I need a knowledge. Do you get it? Yeah.
I don't know if you are piecing it together. Does God tell you to brush your teeth in the mornings? You see, so, I mean, you did, bab. Does God tell you to go and wee-wee? What do I mean? He said, no, you have to wee-wee. I mean, when your tank is full, you know how to empty it. You've been trained to empty it. Do you see? Huh? So there are things that you'll be remiss to wait on God about. Because the Father God has spoken to you implies that you should do this and you should do that and you should do that. Okay, so what you're saying is so important. Okay, and what he's also saying is so important. The vision needs to be clear. If you don't know where we are going, if we don't know where we are going to, I mean, it's not going to work. Every journey, a journey without a destination leads you anywhere. Can't go anywhere. So there must be a defined destination in your mind. Then you start journey. You know that if it's a 24-hour journey, you know by wisdom that you should carry some food with you, some snacks, something. If the journey, if the car is not going to stop anywhere, it's going to go straight to the place, then you should have some food by you, because you can't be hungry for 24 hours. So it's wisdom to take food. Do you see? It's wisdom to take something, some water, whatever. If it's, you know, it's going to stop at different places, then you know that when we get here, I need to take some money so I can buy some food and continue. Do you get it? Uh-huh. So some of the things, the Holy Spirit will not even, he will be angry with you for waiting on him for it. Because, I mean, bruh, you're supposed to know. There's a microphone right in front of you. You have to turn it up.
It's good. After school, I mean, good after Legon, I read agricultural economics. I mean, good. I stayed home for long. Mm. So there was this time I was praying, God, a job. Mm. And I heard a shout in my voice, haven't I given you a job? Wow. And I said, then the meeting, I realized, it was the Agric Input thing.
Mm.
So there was this friend who works at the harbor.
Mm.
I quickly went to him.
Mm.
How much can I get a container for?
Mm.
He mentioned it, and I said, hey, how can I?
Mm.
So, you know, as I heard the word, I moved.
You made a move, yeah.
I moved.
Mm.
The next day, I began to look for a shop. I combed the whole of Ashama. The rent, 1,500. I said, hey! Went to Afienya, looking for a shop.
Mm.
Eventually, I ended up in Bukong.
Mm.
Bukong with a small shop. Small pasa shop.
Mm.
I sent a picture to my wife. She said, ah! I told her, no, don't, let's start from here.
Mm.
In fact, after a couple of years, she confessed that, hey, she really made a mistake.
Mm.
Because in fact, I bought the place, I renovated the place, and when you come there,
that's where you are now.
I mean,
yeah. His house, so, everything. So he was actually looking for his house and he didn't know.
So what actually happened was that God had given me a job, and I was still praying.
We pray too much. That's our problem.
Yeah.
I mean, no, they listen. Just a whole
business, and I'm still praying.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Thank you. So there are steps. You need to move. As for moving, you have to move. No matter whether you are crawling or whatever, you have to move. Whatever it is, you need to be moving. Okay. But you need to be moving towards where you know God wants you to get to, and take all the little steps that God wants you to take. It's as simple as that. I hope it's okay. Yeah. Any other question or contribution? Yes.
Thank you, Papa.
Yes, please.
I think to what they both said, I think the beginning of last year, I'm an artist and I kind of do a lot of things with my hands. So I normally do earrings and sew for myself. It wasn't like the commercial thing. But then the beginning of the year, a friend of mine said, while she was praying, she heard that the Lord said I should master my craftsmanship in the sewing.
Mm.
You know, I was like, I don't have time.
Mm.
But immediately she said it, I said, I'll enroll myself in apprenticeship for 6 months.
Wow.
And perfect the little that I have on my own in that professional side.
Mm.
Fast forward this year, the beginning of the year, I had a couple of friends coming from Germany. And everyone has ordered clothes for me to bring it to them when I'm coming to Germany.
Wow.
And so then it now makes sense to me, the move and the direction that this friend had. And if I didn't actually perfect the skill, I don't think I'll be taking a lot of clothes to Germany next week.
Yeah.
And so that is also some skill of the ways
India.
we can
skill also India. You can't run away from it. I mean, you can't. The skill and the knowledge, you can't. No matter who you are, you have to learn about what you are. Those ones, you don't need heaven to learn about what you are. Absolutely. What are you talking about? Hey, if you are serious, you constantly, I'm a pastor, I'm constantly learning. Every morning, I'm listening to a message. Every morning, I'm listening to a message. I'm reading the Bible. That's my own.
Yeah.
Or?
Oh, yes.
So, I don't know what you are also doing. It's in the morning, what are you doing?
Crypto.
TikTok. All the best. At this time in your life. No. You should be more focused. Okay? You should be more focused. Yeah, it's very important. You like buildings. You should be looking at how, you know, getting more knowledge on it. On the go. On the go. You'll be surprised at how much you learn from YouTube. Yeah, sorry. Keep touching something. I mean, on the go, as we are going, you're just learning. Before you realize, Charlie, the favor that you have been declaring all this while, one day to just show forth, and you get a big contract, and you'll be able to build the house. If you weren't developing yourself in the skill and the knowledge, you realize that the house that you have built is it has kept like this. You are both what? Leaning tower. It's leaning. Yes, so please. You have to. And one of the things that business people in Ghana do when they start succeeding is that they start buying liabilities.
Yeah. That one.
Easy. That one. You started choice. Yes. You are too in a hurry for success. You just buy 5 cars. One is blue, one is white, one is green, one is red. One on Monday, Tuesday. What is wrong with you? You just had $5 million and you have bought a lot of cars, bought 5 houses. Who is going to manage the houses? I want to enter the real estate business. You don't know anything about it. You don't know anything about it. How about car? You see that your houses are growing weeds all over. And you are spending more money to maintain the houses. You see? Uh-huh. So don't stop following the spirit when success comes. It's one of the things that happens. When success starts coming, we stop following the spirit. Now we know everything. You see, you start talking in a certain way like Nebuchadnezzar. You know Nebuchadnezzar. I, by my strength, have gotten all these things. Yeah, and then you become an animal. Bishop Oedipo said, pride is what changes a man's DNA instantly. Yes, pride will change. He uses Nebuchadnezzar as an example. His DNA was changed from that of a man to that of an animal instantly. Yes, he says, pride kills faster than cancer. Pride kills a man faster than cancer. His reference is Herod. When Herod gave an oration, he said, this is the voice of God, whatever. He said, yeah, it's me. Shoo. He died. Instantly, worms came out of him. So pride is pride is not minding God. Pride is not minding God anymore. Yes, that's where it starts from. You don't mind God. Now you're a big guy. Now you have money. Now you know what to do. How much money do you have? 100,000 cedis. Or $100,000. So now you're a big man. All money finishes. Yes. All. Reverend George preached here, I think last year, first fruits or seed sowing, one of them. And he spoke about rich people who became poor before dying. Yes. And how they died and all of that. Because a lot of them forget about God. They started with God, but then they forgot about God with time. So please don't forget about God. Don't keep repeating how you made it. Keep repeating it. Waiting on God, finding out what God wants you to do, and then you take the decisions and keep going gradually. Okay, don't buy liabilities. Choice. Yes. Brother Israel. Oh, yeah, I know Israel. Hey, I forgot. I thought it was my meeting. The way it's like I'm asking questions. I'm sorry.
Thank you so much. Please, my question is, as a believer, how do you find and manage the balance between your business and your spiritual life as a whole? Because I'm not like a business person. I've not been in the business sphere for a long time. But I'm realizing that business is like a second wife. It demands your attention a lot.
First wife, actually.
Yes, so...
Now, but the second wives are cooler. Because they know there's competition. So they don't... But the first wife is mine. You are mine. First wife, yes.
Yes, so how do you find a good balance? For instance, I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
I have a business I'm running. And it's in a competitive environment. Mm. And then I have to come for PRC.
Welcome to life. Welcome to what?
Life.
That's how life is. You have to juggle a lot of things at the same time. guess what? You will marry. Your wife, you'll be shocked that she'll be demanding some kinds of hours from you. Guess what? You'll be having sex with your wife. As you're not knowing that children are coming. When the children come, you will see that they too, yes, someone called the children little devils. And those little devils are coming. They are not devils. They are correct. You see, you have to just learn how to apportion your time. Spend this number of hours here. Spend this number of hours here. Spend this number of hours here. Okay? Yes. You don't carry business to ministry. You don't carry ministry to business. You don't carry ministry to your wife, to the house. Your time with your children is secured. Put your phone off and spend time with your children. If you don't, you'll be surprised. By the time you finish picking the course, whatever, your children don't like you. You pick the course, it's been 14 years and they are old. You've been picking course for 14 years. They are old. They don't like you anymore. They don't like anything related to you. So that's how life is. Okay? You'll be involved in many things that will demand your attention and your time. You just need to learn how to plan and schedule. Bishop Oedipo said that a life lived without scheduling is a life that waiting for shame or something like that. He knows those is worse. Scheduling, shame, something. Yeah. I to end in something. Yes. So you should schedule your time. I'm spending, and you'd be surprised if you learn how to schedule. 5 hours is a lot of hours. 5 hours is a lot. You can spend 5 hours with your business and you'll be surprised. Or spend 3 hours with ministry. I'm doing this. You are a lay pastor, you are not a full-time pastor. You don't expect to do the thing the way I'm doing it. You should also do it the way you are supposed to do it. What it means is that you can only give your evenings. PRC is coming. Take time off. You don't know PRC is coming. The last PRC that ended shows that there's another one that is coming. I mean, there's another one that when this one ends now, you know that another one is. You start preparing for that one. So you take your time. PRC is not for one year. It's... Is it 2 days or 3 days or something like that? 3 days. So just take your time and then you are there. You learn what you're supposed to learn and then you do what you're supposed to do. Okay? So that's how it is. Business is a first wife. I tell you, you need a lot of attention. A lot of attention. You see, can we work together?
Sure.
Can we work together? Can we succeed together?
Yes.
Well, our problem is that we always want to succeed alone.
Yes.
That is our problem. Teamwork is an alien in Ghana, in Africa.
Yes.
Teamwork
makes the dream work.
Makes the dream work. Yeah. But we don't like it. We don't like it. Yes. Pesemin Kuminya. Only you want CEO. What will you do with CEO? When you are CEO of nothing. You see, that's our problem. We have to learn how to work as a team. When you are reading whatever about me, I was saying, listen, I have had helpers. That's what I was saying to myself. I've had helpers, good helpers. That is why all these things, and I always say it. I have a good team. I have raised a good team by the grace of God. They love me, I love them. And we are together for many years. That's why it's working. It's not because I'm some wild guy. I can preach. I don't know anything. I don't know Shelley. My preaching is not even good. I know it. I know it. I just have good helpers. That's me. That's what I believe. I have good helpers. Yeah. Have good helpers. Ellie is here. All these wonderful people. Yeah. Pastor Eugene, Eddie Nam. All this building is here. I don't really know much about. I don't have no. There are people who are always around doing what they're supposed to do. You see, so teamwork is what makes a thing work. If you're going to ignore it, for instance, three of us can come together and decide that we this is a vision we want to accomplish. This is what God is showing us. It's good. We want to get it done. Two of us are going to be working, but you should work on the business. One of you should work on the business. And then the two of you pay him. You pay him. Take 500 out of your pay. Or 700 of your pay, 700 of this, which one's pay? 1,000 for you, give it to him. And then he works on the business until the business gets to a point where it can employ you. One of you. Then employ the other person. Then we can all continue. That's how it is. Our church employs almost 30 people, if not more. I think about 32 or 33 people. I don't employ beyond 10% of our income. If our income is not up to a place where it can employ people. We don't employ. We don't just employ. I have people around who want me to employ them. I can't employ you, brother. If the offerings and tithes goes up, then we can employ you. If the 10% increases from 50,000 to 70,000, then I can have more people. I have 20,000 extra I can use to pay some people and take care of their GRAs, NET, whatever. I'm paying all those things. How should I pay it? If some people decide that they are removing their offerings, hey, we are going to be in trouble. I just want to talk about. So we started from somewhere. And gradually, as we have grown, we employ as we go. We increase the team as we go. Okay? But teamwork is very important. Loyalty, and it all boils down to loyalty. Having one heart and one mind. I preach loyalty. You think I'm joking? I preach loyalty for years. Hey, the first time I preached was 2012 or 13, one of them. I had a whole camp on it. One mind, one heart, one spirit, one accord. That was the message. We are one. Nationhood. We are together. Hey, let's be together. A lot of people had different minds. Their minds came together and we've been able to build what you're supposed to build. That's it. Do you see? So you need that spirit. With two or three or four people, we are together and we are working together. Gradually, no one is going to abandon ship or remove the ship. You see, the ship is troubling. Someone has a plan that as the ship is going, I'll remove it and take it to this other water. Oh, what are you talking about? It's on the Atlantic Ocean. You want to move it to Pacific Ocean. To Kumasi. You want to bring it to Kumasi. Oh, Charlie. How is it going to work? As we are all going here, you say that you have a plan that after some time, you remove the ship straight to Kumasi. You dredge all the way to Kumasi and then, oh, Charlie, you know, fine. It's not going to help. Hallelujah. So please, let's work. I think we will be better off if we work together. It's not easy succeeding alone. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. I don't know a lot of things. That's the amazing thing. But by the grace of God, God has given people who know things. This one knows this, and I allow all of them to flow. Yes, I allow them. Okay, so what do you think? One of my favorite questions is, what do you think? Because I don't think about it. What do you think? My favorite question, what do you think? And when you say it, okay, let's do it. Yeah, it's my wife and man. I go, it's okay to work. Okay, let's do it. That's how we are here. By asking, what do you think? If you don't have anybody, you are going to ask, what do you think? You ask yourself, what do you think? And you don't know. You can't think. What you use, 5 hours to search on that thing. Someone can give it to you in seconds. And then you keep moving. That's how it is. So please, teamwork will help us. Teamwork. 3 of us, 4 of us. Even in us, I was telling some of our people about building. Do you see? A land in this area is selling for 400,000 now. 400,000 Ghana cedis. One land, 60 by 100. It's not 100 by 100, 60 by, do you know 60 by 100? You can't put a swimming pool on it. You can't build your dream house with on 60 by 100. Do you see? But 4 of us can come together, put our money together, and buy that piece of land. You can buy that piece of land and come together and divide it and build very cute houses and be there with our families. Then with time, we buy another one. Build something nicer. Then one moves there. Then with time, we put our money. We are still putting. We have a 20-year plan of putting our money together to build our dream homes. We build the first one. This one moves there. We rent its own out. The money that comes from there, we put it together with whatever. We buy another land, build for the other person to go. We rent is where we were before, out, like that. Then we build another one. The problem is that when we build the first one, that guy, he won't contribute anything again. That is the problem. That we can start it together very easily. Very bad. The Ghanaian has it's the fabric of our society. Listen, what I'm telling you, the Indians have done it everywhere. In the world, the Chinese have done it everywhere in the world. Listen, you go to the UK, there are China towns, there are India towns. We're in Kenya, not long ago, Nairobi. There's a whole Indian, whatever. Indians, they're everywhere. But there's no Ghana town. Pesemikuminya. Only me want. Only me want to be in there. That is our problem. So we have to cure that. When we cure that, we'll succeed very easily. Yeah, 20 years, you'll be surprised at what will be happening. Yeah, you have so much. You can do so much. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, this is my small submission. God bless. Thank you for inviting me. I'm grateful.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.